creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
It's Michael Armstrong. And Don't Get Me Wrong, taken from his new album, which is called 10. Right, so we managed to get hold of Michael. He's not very well, unfortunately. I didn't get the message, but so I've just checked, and yeah, it's an email. Oh, I'm so sorry about that, Michael. Let's crack on. We'll be as quick as possible so that you can get back to recuperating.
No problem at all, Kevin.
I mean, knowing how busy you are, I suppose it doesn't seem like a decade has passed, though, since that first album release, because you've packed a lot into 10 years, haven't you?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's 2015 that my first album came out, and I knew the anniversary was kind of looming, coming up, and I'd do something to celebrate the occasion. But it was strange. Yeah, you can't believe how quickly 10 years goes. And it was fun, though, listening back to particularly the first couple of albums, which I hadn't, you know, you don't really listen back to your own albums in after you've made them. You spend so long making an album that you don't really listen back to it after it goes out into the world. So it was really nice going back and listening to the tracks and putting the compilation together.
Now, going into music for you was quite a gamble because, I mean, you were working in the family business and everything, and you completely swapped careers quite late in life, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a bit mad, really. a midlife crisis, I think. Yeah, the first album, I was 41 when my debut album came out. I started recording it when I was 38. It took me a couple of years to record. I'd been writing songs and playing music, you know, since I was 12, 13 years old. But we had a band when I was like 18, 19, and we did quite well, but didn't quite get where we wanted to get. And my parents, they were very supportive of my music career. They my dad said to me, you know, you really can't sit around here, you need to get a job, as any good parent should do. And my dad ran a construction company in London, so I ended up going to work with my dad in the building industry. And I did that, what was meant to be a temporary job, I ended up doing for 15 years and had three children, mortgage, got married, and all of a sudden this kind of temporary job became a whole lot more important. But eventually I was able, through a series of events, to be able to follow my original path in music.
And what a lot of listeners don't realise as well is that a lot of the guests that we've had on this show, it's all been because of you lining them up for us, including Susie Quattro. Gorgeous Susie Quattro. So thank you for that. Now, your music has topped the American charts over the last 10 years, as well as the UK charts. So knowing how hard it is for a British musician to crack America, what's the secret?
God, it was a fluke, to be honest, Kevin. I wish I knew the answer to that. If I knew the answer, I'd form a band and become their manager. You know, it was, you know, when the first album came out 10 years ago, people were saying to me, your music would work really well in America. And of course, it's all well and good saying that, but, you know, how do you make that happen? I don't know. So what I did is I literally sat down one weekend and thought, right, I'll go get on the internet and I'll make a list of some emails of American radio stations. So I thought, well, I'll start in alphabetical order. I went for the state, started at Alabama or whatever it is, and I realized just how big America was, because it took me about 6 months to compile this list. Maybe like, you know, tens of thousands of emails. And then I sent out my first single and my album out to all these email addresses, and half of them pinged back. And I think I've got one reply from someone in Hawaii or something saying they were going to play my single. So after that, I just kept, I thought, I've made the list, I'll just keep sending out the singles each time I release them. And by the time I got to my third album, the song Each Other's Eyes, which opens the third album, I sent that out to the radio, to the American list, and a guy in New York started playing it. And someone else at his station heard it and started playing it. And then another station started playing it. And before I knew it, it got into the American indie music charts. And I got a message saying it was at number 35. And I was absolutely thrilled. And then each week it went up. I think it was 35, 20, number 12, number 5, number 2, and eventually number 1. So it was absolutely incredible.
And I think we spoke to you round about that time, and it definitely educated me to what yacht rock music was as well. I learned a lot the last time I spoke to you. So, and the new single, of course, which is the one that we played about 5-10 minutes ago, Getting Better as well. That is doing extremely well in the Heritage charts at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be doing quite well. Yes. It's obviously a cover of a Beatles song, which my producer Warren Bennett and I, we actually recorded that in 2017 for the 50th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper album. But it was never actually released. We did like a video on Facebook, but the song was never released. So it was a nice one to put on the album, just as kind of a collector's kind of edition.
And that's out now, and it's zooming up the charts. So brilliant stuff. Yes. Now that I must ask, because I did mention at the top of the interview that unfortunately you're not too well at the moment. And if I'd have just read my emails, then I would have known. But trust me, not to read my emails. But I mean, how is your health? Because I know that part of your life. It's really, health has really tried to put hurdles in your way, hasn't it? So at the moment, sort of, I know that you're not very well, but how are you in general?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I had kidney cancer in 2023. Yeah. It was a couple of years ago, yeah. I was operated and they got rid of it, and I get checked regularly, and I'm fine now, apart from having a bit of a cold this morning.
Oh, I see. And I know as well that you were diagnosed with diabetes too, as well, I believe.
Yeah.
So, and I can sympathise with that, because last year I was diagnosed with the same thing. It gives you a little bit of a shake up on life, doesn't it? So, but. These things are sent to tries, but it's how you get through it. And I know how extremely busy you are with everything that you do away from producing your music. So it's not stopped you from slowing down at all. So, let's talk about the album 10. How difficult was it for you to narrow down the tracks for 10 from the music that you put out over the last 10 years?
There's some obvious choices. Obviously, there's the hits, the American number one, and some of the fans' favourites. But then I kind of chose just there's two or three on there which kind of a bit left of field. I think ones that just tracks that I really liked from the albums, which weren't necessarily singles, just recordings that I'm particularly fond of. I think like the Cola Paranoia from the first album, Periscope from the second album, and Gypsy from the second album. They weren't singles, but there's something about those recordings that I really like. I'm very proud of them.
There's a story behind Gypsy, isn't there? A sort of true life sort of encounter with a gypsy that sort of evoked writing that.
Yes, it did. Yes. That was funny. I was up in London and, I was actually going to the Houses of Parliament. I was invited by a friend who worked there to go and visit and have a look around, which I've never done before. And I was in the queue outside and I was approached by a gypsy who was selling Lucky Heather. And I had no money on me at all. None of us have cash these days, only cards, isn't it? So she was pestering me for some cash. Obviously thought I had money because I'm about to go into the Houses of Parliament, which I'm a musician. Obviously I have no money at all. And so she was quite insistent, and in the end I had to say to her, I really have no money. And so she kind of grabbed my face and cursed me, and she said, "You've been cursed by the gypsy." And I'm not superstitious at all, but it did play on my mind for the rest of the day. And when I got home, I sat down and wrote the song, which the first two verses are about that incident, and then I go off into singer-songwriter land and it becomes a bit crazy.
Now, we played Don't Get Me Wrong, of course, which is from the Gender Neutral Volume 1 EP. So are we going to get a follow-up to that EP?
Oh, you know, I haven't thought about it. Lots of people... I know, I could probably make 10, because I had so many... When I made that, it's just got 5 tracks on it, and obviously the idea of Gender Neutral was I was singing songs that were made famous or most associated with female vocalists or artists. And I had so many emails and comments afterwards of people recommending songs. I could probably make another 10 of them. But I'm working on an album of my own material at the moment, so that will have to wait.
Brilliant stuff. Well, we'll look forward to that when it comes out as well. Out of the songs that you've put on this album, do you have a particular favourite?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think probably there's a song called Matters of Heart, which was from my third album, Ohio. And it's one of those songs which when I wrote, I felt it's a really emotional song. It's about my parents. And, but it's one of those songs that I could, when you write a song, you can hear how you want it to sound when you record it. And that song came out, I managed to get it exactly as I heard it in my head. So I'm particularly proud of that one, I think.
Brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll sort that one out and play. Just before we do let you go, how can people find out more about you and get hold of your music and this new album called 10?
Well, the album's available in all the usual places to download and stream, but the best place to go is my website, which is michaelarmstrongmusic.co.uk.
Brilliant stuff. I'm going to let you go and get back to bed and rest the throat and everything else. So, and I do apologise for not getting your email.
But it's
lovely to chat to you again. The album is absolutely brilliant. There's so much good stuff on there. Just played all the way through and then back again because it's a fantastic album. It's called 10 and it's out now. Michael, thank you so much. I shall speak to you soon, probably on email. Give your voice a rest. For now, so you take care, get back to bed and get something medicinal for it, like Southern Comfort whiskey or something like that, you know, or maybe even some gin. I don't know, but thank you so much, and you have a restful week.
Thanks, Kevin. You too. Thanks, pal.
Cheers, Michael.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.